You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
All right, what's next?
Let's talk Moose. Because I'm roughly going in chronological order here. Moose Def's Black on Both Sides released 1 week before Internal Affairs.
Yeah, they promote them together, similar to Redman and Method Man's Month of the Man. There was a 2-page layout in the source, cut it out, put it on the locker. Couldn't tell me nothing about Mos Def and Pharoah Monch in 1999. Nothing.
All right. So let's just get this out of the way right now. I was not a big fan of this album.
You were not?
No. Not at all. As far as okay. I was concerned, there was like four dope records on here.
Okay.
I was wrong. It's possible from time to time that I can be mistaken. It's been known to happen.
I told you, man.
There are more than four dope songs on here.
This album is classic. If Black Star is a classic, this without question is classic.
Let's go. Opener, Fear Not a Man.
Yep.
Produced by Mos Def. You know, it's cool. It works.
It's dope. I love the way that it builds up.
Yeah, like it to me, the whole album in general kind of gets off to a little bit of a slow start.
You could say that.
Yeah. Fear Not a Man is not bad.
Builds up in a very like Fela Kuti sort of way.
Fela Kuti sampled on this.
Sure. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I'm not going to this record. I'm skipping straight to, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But I'm not starting off listening to my album with this unless I want to.
Right. Track 2, Hip Hop, produced by Diamond D.
Nah.
This is okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. Love, produced by 88 Keys.
Yes.
I like this. This is definitely better.
This is where I start.
Right. We're building up now.
Yeah, this is where I start. I like this record a lot.
Yeah, it's good. It's not like amazing. It's not the best Mos Def song, but it's cool.
Nah, it works. But it works. It serves its purpose.
Can we talk about Miss Fat Booty?
I'm just going to put my iPad down and just... Is this without question is top 5 best hip hop songs about a girl, right?
Ooh, okay. This is good.
You gotta go Ghostface something.
Kameh is amazing.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm like the only person in the world who doesn't like Kameh. I know I'm the only person in the world who's like that. So I'll let that go in a conversation.
Kameh might be perfect. I mean, I am the guy who did put together a Spotify playlist called Wu-Tang Romance once. So
it's classic playlist. One of the reasons why it was very hard for me to get rid of Spotify.
Renee?
Spotify.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, but I'm just about a girl.
About a girl. Okay, Renee's on the list.
Renee's on there. I've got a playlist on Spotify of like, it's called like Thug and Love, something like that. I don't know what I called it. I don't know what I called it. Mama said he was in love when he made me.
Anything by LL?
You could go Around the Way, Girl. You could go into the Dirty Mac and Anthem, Hey Lover.
I mean, Doing It Well is...
Yeah, Doing It.
Because you didn't say it had to be romantic.
No.
It just had to be about a girl.
Just about a girl.
All right, well, Doing It...
Yeah, my hip hop girl playlist is terrible. Oh God, I didn't finish this. Let me make private. They don't need to see this.
Miss Fat Booty is probably top 5, top 10.
It's in there.
This song is perfect.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The beat is. I mean, what are you gonna say? Ayatollah kills this.
Just a amazing Aretha Franklin sample.
Mos is great on this. The video is perfect.
Yep. Again, okay, so here's another conversation.
Yeah, okay.
Is this one of the best storytelling songs in hip hop? Just period.
I don't know about that.
I think it's in the conversation.
Really?
For one of the best storytelling hip hop songs ever. Yes. It's in the conversation.
I don't really think of it that way, but
if you just throw it out there and you're like, yo, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? I'm going to put that in there. And I think another underrated storytelling song is Wu-Tang's Impossible.
Ghost's verse is incredible there.
Yeah. Like, but nobody talks about it, but I'm going to throw that when people are talking about storytelling. What are some incredible storytelling songs in hip hop? I'm throwing those two records in there. Absolutely. Miss Fat Booty.
I like how you're trying to win me over to the Miss Fat Booty argument by giving me some Wu-Tang. Like I'm going to be distracted.
No, there's no argument.
I'm just kidding. You know what it is? With Miss Fat Booty, I'm distracted by the sample.
Really?
The song, the beat is perfect. Like
it is.
Yeah. And actually, you know what it is? I don't really like the twist at the end of the story.
Mm.
So that's why I'm like, eh.
Mm.
But maybe he tells it well. I'm not denying that.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Do you have to like how the story ends to like a storytelling hip hop verse?
Do you have to like the way that... Okay, so let's go. You're a movie buff.
Yeah,
so do you have to like the story, or can you appreciate the way the story is told even if you don't like the ending?
No, you gotta like the ending.
Okay. Like, I did not like, again, I always bring up this movie, I didn't like the ending of Gone Girl, but the fact that, like, I can break it down and talk about it and sort of piece things together makes me appreciate it.
I'm still not ready to rewatch Gone Girl. Actually, did we just rewatch it recently? I feel like I gotta be, man, you gotta be really secure in relationship to watch Gone Girl with your significant other.
I think, well, first, I think you're fine. I think
I'm just
good with Marissa. I think you're good with Marissa.
I know. Enjoy.
But yeah, again, I took a girl that I really, really liked on a date, and yeah, where obviously it didn't work out.
Right.
So yeah. I don't know if you want those problems.
All right. Speed Law, produced by 88 Keys.
Eh.
I didn't love this song much back in 99, but it actually sounds pretty good now. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like it.
Mm.
It's one of those. This is one of those songs that I was like, oh, this isn't bad at all.
Yeah.
All right. What in the world is going on with Do It Now?
So there's one thing I noticed. Both Most and Pharoah Monch have terrible songs with Busta Rhymes on their albums.
Whoa.
Yep. I did it. I went there.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it when we get to the Monch album. The Swizz Beatz influence on the song is so outrageous. It's essentially a real hip hop version of a Swizz record.
A real hip hop.
The way the melody is constructed, the quadruple scratch that comes in at the end of like the 16 bar sequence, it's all straight out of the Swizz Beatz playbook. The song was hard in 99.
It was.
But it sounds completely ridiculous right now.
Agreed.
It's so hard to explain if you weren't into hip hop in 99, but Busta was the man.
He was.
He was that dude, but he sounds ridiculous here. And the best thing is, this doesn't even win the award for most ridiculous Busta Rhymes performance on a raucous album in 1999, which I kind of want to get him a trophy for, because I cannot wait to talk about that song. We're going to get there. This isn't even the most, this is like a normal Busta Rhymes performance.
It is.
How do you feel about Got, produced by Ali Shaheed?
I used to like this record a lot. Actually, you know what? I do still like it. It's a dope record.
I don't really like the beat, so I'm cool.
You produce this.
Yeah. Well, so you know what's a really interesting song to hear now is Umi Says. This song was kind of like, some people were really like, not into this song in 99.
Really?
Because people were like, whoa, he's singing?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But now it's like, well, of course he's singing. He's Mos Def. See, I'll be honest. I was one of those people. I was not in the camp of people who liked Umi Says. I put on my backpack, I tightened those straps, and I said, no, sir. Not in my disc, man.
Yeah.
But now, the song is dope. Like, what was I thinking?
This is one of those records that just has never went away.
Hmm.
It has like lasted, it has withstood the test of time. I hear this record a lot, and especially considering the circles that I'm in locally, like, then yeah, that's why. Do you remember the Jordan commercial that had this on here?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I feel like that was that for the 17?
It gave the song a whole second life.
It absolutely
and it
did.
Made it feel like the single was out for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yep, without question.
New World Water, produced by Psycho Less.
That's Psycho Less.
Beat nuts.
Nice.
Hey, guess what? The beat is dope. I always thought the song was a little weird. Like, I was 16 years old. I wasn't trying to hear about hypothetical water shortages and buying like a water tank.
Ah.
You know, that's not really what I wanted to hear. Sure. And, you know, I get it. Now I get it. Song's not bad. Like, sometimes Mos Def's politics come off a little bit too much. I'm a sophomore in college who just took a class. Like,
yo, shut up, man.
But I get it. I get it. Song's not bad. What do you think?
No, I like it. 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 I like it.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, no. I know, no. It's listen. I'm not going to sit up here and say, you know, the world is never going to be short of water, because you never know. What I will say is, this is the type of talk that got me a lot of it. What's the way to close the deal?
when you needed a different type of game.
I mean, but this is the thing. Like, I always dealt with these types of chicks. So then, like, these type of women. So then when I would get, like, I don't want to call them regular, but chicks who weren't necessarily, women who weren't necessarily into that.
We're going to cut this whole section. I'm just kidding.
I know, right? Just cut the whole thing out. So when you would get with women who were not into that or did not know about that, and you'd hit them with stuff like that, oh, it was over.
What you trying to kick knowledge?
Exactly. Absolutely right. I'm kicking knowledge. All of the knowledge. Hilarious.
She thinks you're gonna roll up and say, "Hey, what's up?" And you're up there talking about you got a water tank, and she's all like, "Oh, this is a man. Like, this is a man with some intellect."
Yeah. I read books.
Unfortunately, the song that comes after Rock and Roll. Bruh. All right. So for most of this song, you're thinking, all right, we got a song. Most talking about how white people have taken lots from people of color. True. Rock and Roll is another example. True. Mm-hmm. Beats going along for a while. You're like, cool. I get it. And then about 3 minutes and 48 seconds into it, it turns into a punk song.
Yeah.
What the heck is this?
This just makes me pissed off at the New Danger.
Oh, I've blocked that out entirely.
No rap album made me more angrier than Most Def's The New Danger. No album has ever evoked that much anger from me. Nothing in hip hop has evoked that much anger from me like The New Danger did in 2004. Coming out of basic training, not being tapped into anything in hip hop. Oh. Literally going to the PX and spending $100 on all of the albums that I missed. Jim Jones on my way to church being one of them.
Oh God.
Whatever. At least you got
that was Summer in Miami?
No, that was End of the Road.
Oh, End of the Road. Oh.
Yeah, that was that. What else did I get from there? There's another one. Oh, the LL album that had
Headstrong?
What was the LL? Yeah. Yeah.
Cause we be up in the club. See, when I hear that, I just see the water jugs like moving. I see Timbo, water jugs. It's a lot of, oh no. A
lot of gut, right?
A lot of back of the neck.
Yo, I lived in Japan at the time. They loved that record.
Headstrong?
Yeah, man. Oh. Like, that record used to go. That, Jesus Walks, and like pretty much any Jeezy or Dipset would go in the club in 2004, 2005 in Japan, without question. Yeah.
So,
they call me Big Ellie, Big Willie. Yeah, nah. No on Rock and Roll.
No on Rock and Roll. Know That, featuring Talib, produced by Ayatollah. Again, seems like this would be the logical spot for High Tech. But I loved this in 99, but this does not age well at all.
Yeah, I loved it at the time. It's not whack now. It's just like, it just reminds me of how much I used to love it back then.
Right. How do you feel about Klein?
Yes. Most Def and, man, I'm going to pronounce the name wrong.
Yeah.
Is it Vania Mojica?
Let me just say, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that.
Okay. Right. Somebody's going to add us during the week and say, and tell us if we got it wrong or not.
Please do.
Them and this and Get the Step In on High Technology. I like their duets. I like, Klein was dope. Oh God. Yeah. Now this was the record that you put on the mix CD for the conscious chick. She had a nose ring. She had a lot of like distressed leather jackets. Yeah, yeah.
She wore like multiple bracelets at the same time.
Oh God, yes. You could hear it coming. Yep. Like, how do you not lose one of those? How do those stay on your arm? Like, cause they were always really tiny, like really tiny girls, but they have these big, giant, like 35 bracelets.
See, to me, that's just a lot. It's just a lot of work to get out of the house every day.
Yeah, like, do you keep them together? Do you put them on individually? Is it a you just buy a slinky? Wouldn't that make it easier?
Anyway, you know what song I totally missed out on in 99?
What's that?
It's Brooklyn.
Yeah, you bugging on Brooklyn.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers interpolation at the beginning with Go Brooklyn in the background, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The first half of this, the first part of this, I think is better than the second part, but I'm not mad at the second part. And then ending with Who Shot Ya? I mean, come on. Yeah. This is crazy. How did I don't even know what I was thinking.
Yeah, you bugging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brooklyn was dope.
I was Monch all the time in 99. I don't know what I was thinking.
Nah, yeah. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. Habitat, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
The Q-Tip record.
Mr. Nigga. Yeah. This record was dope then, it's still dope now.
Mr. Brova.
Mr. Brother.
Okay. Here's another song that kind of missed me in 99, but it feels better in 2016. I think part of it too is like I was still a pretty sheltered white boy in 99. And like the idea, like I don't think I had really known enough about, I mean, obviously, like, I wasn't so sheltered that I didn't understand that black people and white people in America tend to live a different existence. They tend to be treated differently. But the idea of like a famous black guy being treated differently, like we hadn't lived through Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now I hear the song and I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah.
The song kind of, in a weird way, predicts Dave Chappelle.
Without question. I'm really mad I missed him at the Roots picnic this weekend. I would have... Just want to hear Dave, man.
Yeah, you want to hear? Yeah, I keep hoping he just wants to, like, just do, like, one. Even if he did one last big. I mean, do it for a while, but, like, just do one big. Just do a tour.
Yeah, just do a tour, please.
Just do a tour.
I mean, he kind of did one last year, but, like, I want him to do, like a Kevin Hart tour. Like, go to, like Minneapolis, Minnesota, Boise, Idaho. Like, go everywhere.
Right. I'm trying to think if there's any comedians that I haven't seen live. There's two comedians I haven't seen live that I want to see, and that's... I haven't seen Seinfeld live, and I haven't seen Chappelle live.
Mm.
But yeah, I've seen Louis C.K. I've seen Aziz Ansari multiple times, actually. Who else? I don't know. I've seen a bunch of comedians.
I still need to see Chris Rock. I really wish that Chris Rock Dave Chappelle tour would have really been a thing. I would have paid top dollar for that.
Mm.
Like, there's no minimum on a ticket. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I'm not spending $400 for nosebleeds, but
right.
Not being paying Beyonce prices, but I would without question go see that tour.
Let's talk about mathematics.
You have always had an interesting relationship with this record.
Do you know that this was supposed to be the first single?
I feel like you said this before.
This was supposed to be the first single, and at the last minute, they chose Miss Fat Booty.
So did we do a Gangstar retro?
We did a Primo retro.
We did a Primo retro, and that's where you said that at.
This is not a strong Primo beat.
You said that.
The hook is classic Primo. I'll give him that.
Mathematics. But, A plus B plus 5 divided by 4. Okay, my bad.
Divide the profit by 4, subtract by 8. But this is 99 Primo. Knocking classics out left and right.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, you compare this to, I don't know, anything else he did in 99? This is not as good.
What else did he do in 99? Humor me.
Full Clip.
So all those Full Clip records. So you've got Royalty. Oh, Royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline. Oh, God. Okay, we can just stop right there. We can stop right there. Discipline might be.
Actually, how do you feel about So Ghetto? It's better than Mathematics.
I don't know about that one, bro.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
You might wanna ease on back there.
How about Nas is like?
Sixth Sense.
That's 2000.
Ah, okay. I'm the only person in the world who, like, when Nas's Light comes on now, I'm like, eh.
New York State of Mind Part 2.
Yeah, you love that. That's better than Part 1 to you, right?
It is.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. There's more going on. Those keys, man.
I know.
Those keys. And that the bass line is, like, filthier.
Yeah. All right. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, Mathematics. Nah. So, but you like Mathematics.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not like, yo, son, put on that Mathematics, like, but, you know, it's cool.
Okay.
It's dope.
And then May December.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I used to love this.
Me too.
Still great.
Yeah.
So, still great. You know, does it make a lot of sense why it's on the album? No. Do I care? Not really.
Yeah.
It's great. So you think this is a classic album?
Without question. I think this is most, but again, when you factor in Umi Says and then, hey, here's a record that I produced, these were things that rappers weren't doing
in
1999.
That's true. No, he's way, like, melodically way ahead of his time.
Can I? Okay, go. Let's talk about the album, then we'll talk about most.
No, let's talk about most.
Kanye, Lupe, J. Cole, Kendrick, they don't exist without Mos Def. He is my biggest what if in hip hop and possibly music.
He's a pretty big one. To me, you know who's also a weird what if?
Who's that?
And truthfully, the guy who set the stage for Mos Def.
Who's that?
Q-Tip.
Nice. Nice. Q-Tip. The amazing thing about Q-Tip, and I really like his record on the Solange album. The thing about Q-Tip is that Q-Tip gets a pass because of all he did with Tribe.
Right.
And all he did with Mob and all his stuff. But as much as he did, there was still a whole lot more that he could have done, which is amazing.
The fact that we didn't get a solo album until Amplified.
Yo, can I also listen?
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
Y'all not finna sit up here and act like y'all liked Amplified. Don't do that.
We all liked Vibrant Thing.
Nobody liked Vibrant Thing.
No, stop it.
No. Hold on. There's a sect of people like these same.
Oh, none of y'all.
Yeah, y'all. Like
youths.
The youths. These rappity rap hip hop heads.
Tell
that
them why
will
you
play
man.
Vibrant Thing. Yeah, it's my fourth album. that will play Vibrant Thing and Breathe and Stop and Let's Ride. You hated Amplified, just like you hated the Love Movement and all of Dilla's stuff pre-1999. Get out of my face. I don't want to hear it. Now, those of us who was in the club sipping on bub. Listen, man, Vibrant Thing did a lot for me. I was, what was that, in 2000? That was 2000, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was 16. That's when I first started going to the club because they had an all ages spot. They used to ring off on 3-day weekends on Sunday nights.
Nothing is skeevier than the all ages spot.
I mean, there's no way you should have been over the age of 17 at the all ages spot.
They made the mistake at UConn when I was there. They had an 18, not all ages, but they had 18 and up. One place was 18 and up, which makes sense until you realize it was across the road from the high school.
Ooh.
Right.
So who was killing that? Like college freshmen, sophomores?
Right. And so, of course, that place got shut down. The place kept getting raided.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because, wow. You know, doesn't take, you know, how many times does it take like a high school kid to end up at this place and then, you know.
Things happen.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, so
Mos Def, you know,
he's a freaking genius. When you're listening to Soundbombing 2, you're listening to Next Universe and you're listening to Universal Magnetic and you're listening to certain records on, like, everything was right there. And I feel like it was a combination of too much too soon for him and then just the stage not being properly set for him.
Mm.
Like if he would have came out in 2004, 2005, 2006. And not even then, because I feel like Lil Brother was in the same vein, not to the degree of Mos Def, but just what they were doing, people weren't necessarily ready for. Our rappers always say, you ain't ready for this. Like, no. People really weren't ready for Mos Def and Lil Brother during their respective
In a run. Sense, right at the moment when Raucous turned pop, Lil Brother emerged. Like, they took the opening.
Yep. Yeah, for those people who were, like, distraught that Raucous ended up the way that it ended up.
Right.
That were like, well, what do we do now? Here comes the listening.
Sure.
So that's all. Man, shout out to Mos Def, man. He is my biggest headache in hip hop because he was just such a freaking anomaly, amazing, genius, melodic, used a lot of the tools that you hip hop fans, you rappity rap fans dreaded. He was sing rapping, but he had bars, so y'all let it pass. So I don't know, man. Shout out to Mos.
Let's talk about my man, Pharamach.
Yeah, okay, so now you can rant. It's your turn.
Man, I don't even know where to start. Let's just start right up front. I'm skipping the intro. It's an intro. Behind Closed Doors. First of all, Pharamanc produces or co-produces like half of this album, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Closed Doors, right up my alley for 99.
Yeah,
it's dark, sinister. Monch is rapping. It's like tailor-made for 99 Doc.
Super dacky.
You know what I realized immediately on this first song that Monch does not get any credit for?
What's that?
His hooks.
Yeah, I mean, even his singing as well. Yeah.
Right. But like Monch would rap rapidy rap. Oh, he would rapidy rap. But then then he's like singing the hook.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of his most famous singles had him singing the hook.
Right. Oh, we'll get
there. We'll get there.
Yeah, Behind Closed Doors. Dope.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. I remember hearing this when I bought the album. I was like, what is this? Like, I was just taken aback by it. Like, this is interesting. Because I wasn't familiar with Monch at the time, other than, you know, Mayor and, again, up until then, Simon Says.
Right. And Queens is cool.
Yo.
It's a cool song.
Nah. I used to love this record, and I was literally brushing my teeth this morning and said, yo, I hadn't even heard the album yet. Like, I didn't listen to, because some of these albums I had to go back and listen to, but some of them I just listened to today at work. Like, I already know this stuff. I didn't know this record sampled Maxwell Till the Cops Come Knocking.
Mm.
Did not know that. And then when I heard it, I was like, yo, this really sampled Maxwell Till the Cops Come Knocking.
I like when, Queens is cool. I like the end when he's singing at the end. But Queens is dope. So track 4 is a little troubling. Talk about records that you would not make in 2016.
Bruh.
This song's called Rape. I understand the metaphor he's trying to go for, but even when you understand the metaphor, it's still troubling.
A little bit.
I used to think this was really clever. And now I'm like, really? He fought for this to stay on the album.
Because
Ruckus was like, do you need to do this? And he's like, yeah, this is important. It's like, really? But we need to talk about Simon Says. Song's perfect. Don't even.
No.
I was going to say.
I'm just sad that because of everything that happened with the sample, that this record doesn't really live in hip hop infamy like it needs to.
This whole album doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even on.
You can't find it.
Yeah, you can't find it. A lot of Ruckus's catalog is like that.
So the deal with the sample for Simon Says is that he brought it to Ruckus. He told them what he sampled, and they were supposed to clear it. And they got cute. They didn't. They were like, oh well, and they never really cleared it. And then it blew up way bigger than they thought. And then of course the original copyright holders come knocking, and then now they can't sell the album anymore.
Bars.
Terrible. Because this song is amazing. The story for how in the oral history of it's actually on MySpace of all places of Ruckus. The oral history of Ruckus talks about this. And so when Monch makes it, he's got the mostly finished product, and he plays it for Busta Rhymes. And Busta gets, as you can imagine, he might gets ridiculously excited by this. Brings it direct to Funkmaster Flex. Flex then proceeds to apparently play it 50 times in a row, dropping bombs the entire time.
That's totally plausible.
That's entirely plausible, and I'm so sad that I didn't get to hear that, because that would have been amazing. Simon Says is great. It's such a unique sample, so it works 17 years later.
Yeah,
like everything about this, like what's actually really cool in a sense is how it's not even 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
So you can imagine with this beat, if he lets this go on too long, you kind of get sick of it. Like,
yeah.
you think it's a novelty, but he doesn't. It's 2:55 in, out. Love the song.
Yep.
Classic single.
Yep.
Next record, Official. Cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. Mm. Can we talk about Hell?
I mean, do you want me to preach? What do you want me to do?
I mean, your man Jermaine Williams, Can I Bust?
Listen. Go ahead.
First of all, this opens with a dial-up tone, which is the most 1999 thing ever.
Like, yo, Cannabis loved the freaking internet in 1998, 1999. Loved it.
Yeah. You think he just walks around now telling people, I told you I was right.
Tune in to Channel Zero.
This beat is actually pretty great. And
Monch
is great on this. And 99 Cannabis was still cannabis.
Yeah, he's still cannabis.
This was in between the first album and the second album. So we still had hope. No, I like the song. I always like the song. Oh, okay, fine. We can agree on No Mercy, featuring M.O.P., produced by your man, Al.
I actually thought you were going to talk about another record, but no. Listen. I stood up today at work.
When this came out?
If I ever go to the UFC, this is what I'm walking out to.
I tried to explain, like, when I think I was... I'm so domestic now. I think I was ironing some clothes when I had this come on, and I immediately took it off the Bluetooth headphones and I airplayed it to the speakers, interrupted what Marissa was doing, and I was like, "You need to listen to this,
son."
And then she just looked at me like, "Huh?" I was like, "No." When that beat drops, oh,
like there's no buildup. It's like a piece of the sample or whatever. Yeah.
And just it's fading away, and then all of a sudden.
It just smacks you in the face.
And you know who was originally supposed to have this beat?
Who?
Prodigy.
Nah.
This was for his first album.
HNIC?
That's right.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm glad M.O.P. and Monch got it.
Yep, unnecessary.
When this hook comes in, like, I've thought about it. I need to add this to my playlist that I use when I'm lifting, because I feel like I'd be setting, like, personal records when that hook comes in. This hook is amazing.
Yeah.
Exactly what you want MOP for. The beat is perfect. Love this song.
Yeah, without question.
So, speaking of harkening back to the beat I made fun of on Mos Def's album that sounded like a bad Swiss Beats / Busta Rhymes record, this right here record, DJ Scratch.
Oh, yeah.
I used to like this a lot, but that type of that 1999 melody has not aged well at all.
Right.
It was a weird time for hip hop. It was an unfortunate time. Speaking of weird time for hip hop.
Oh God, where are you going?
Can we talk about a song I love? It is so goofy. It is so ridiculous. It is so over the top. My man, Big Bang Busta Rhymes.
Big Bang Busta.
Farrah Monch. It's called The Next Dish.
No.
This song is completely absurd.
Without question.
It's amazing.
It's bad.
No. This feels like it really should have been on that 1998 Flip Mode album. I feel like they should have made a goofy video for this.
They did. It was called Everybody on the Line Outside.
They stole their thunder.
They did.
This song is great. It's completely ridiculous. It's dumb. And it's great.
Yeah.
I could see why you might hate it. I love it.
Nah.
I love this. I'd love to, like, if someone was like, what was hip hop like in 1999? and if they didn't know, and I just play this, I just want to see the look on their faces. They're just like, what in the world?
So remember, it was a thing when we were kids up until maybe like preteen for like people to make time machines or time capsules.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, hip-hop time capsule. That's a good idea.
Yeah, we totally should have. A 1999 time capsule? So like,
the problem is, what song perfectly encapsulates 1999? Would it be Memph Bleek Is?
Man, you ruined my joke.
No, no! What'd you get?
I was going to play it.
Oh, you knew! But just play it anyway.
Oh my God, look at his I need a gift for him, like, walking up. Yo, Doc, no, listen. We have to stop. I want you to pull that video up on your phone, and I just want you to watch the first 5 seconds of him walking up and look at how big his jeans are. Right. And if you're watching, or if you're listening to this podcast, shout out to y'all, pull up the Memph Bleek Is video and just look at how baggy his pants are. It just doesn't make sense.
Watching. I'm sorry. What? So, man, there's a lot of jeans. There's like a billowing effect. It's like watching. It's like a curtain being drawn, like when he walks.
Bruh, like so much wind movement in his pants and his shirt.
Like the exploding televisions, you know. Why not?
Yo, son, Myth Bleak is coming. Let's go blow up some TVs, kid.
All right. This next record, we're going to call it, I don't even know. I'm trying to keep it clean for the kids. Yeah. It's not a good record, so it doesn't matter. If you ever wanted to hear Diamond D trying to do Neptune-style bass lines and hi-hats, then here you go. But otherwise, stay away.
Yeah, nah, this is... And then it goes straight into...
The Light.
The Light.
Which is... Can I just say... I love this song.
Do you really?
Oh, my goodness. This song is amazing. The sample, Monch on the hook. Like, here's why I love it. Because you could see how if you worked at Ruckus and you're hearing these hard records that are being put together, you'd be like, hey, you know, give me something we can play for, you know, give me the chick record.
Give me the chick record.
And rarely in hip hop, especially in 99, do you hear sincerity and eagerness, right? Because dudes had to be hard.
Yeah.
And if they ever got vulnerable, it was because something tragic happened to her. Thanks, Mr. Cheeks. Like, that was it. But Monch takes this, like, stereotypical idea of a chick song and goes all in with the sincerity. And it just works. Like, I love the song so much. I loved it as a single back then. To me, like, if you're a hip-hop fan from the 90s and you don't like to sing along to this hook, you might not have a heart. Nah. Are you telling me you don't like this record?
I'm not crazy about
it. Oh God. Come on.
It's dope, but like, am I like, I liked it better when Common did it and called it The Light.
Except Monch did it first.
And Common did it better.
See, The Light was definitely one of those records that you could play when you needed to kick a certain kind of game.
And he was rapping too fast.
Think so?
There's a psychology to chick records. I can hear a chick record and tell if it was written by a dude who doesn't get chicks. Doesn't get, you know what I'm saying? Like,
interesting.
There's a certain way, and I'm not even saying this for manipulative reasons, but like, you have to get, I'm completely out the game right now, but you have to, like, we talked about this before, you have to get a woman to let her guard down and to assure her that it's safe to be around you, that you're not a creep, you're not a dirtbag, you know what I'm saying? And that your intentions towards her are 100% pure, if that's your intention. If you're going to be a sleaze bucket, then, you know, whatever. But like, if I'm yelling at you, like, she's off the hook. Like, it's a lot. It's just a lot going on. He's rapping really fast. Like, imagine it's like a girl walking by and like he has like 5 seconds to say all the things he wants to say to her. Like, hey, I just want to know that you.
Yeah, it's like Omarion in dance form, just Pharamonch in rapping form. Like, he's squeezing everything humanly possible into that.
Yeah, so it's like telling the girl you love her like after the second date.
After the first date.
Yeah, like, hey, you text me when you get home. She gets home, you say, hey, I got home, had a really good time, yada yada. Yeah, me too, love you. Wait a minute. Or asking like for pictures, like you're doing too much.
How do you feel about this Organized Confusion reunion record on here? Godsend.
Nope.
Yeah. I used to like this song. I take that back. I used to try to like this song. You ever do that?
All the time.
Yeah. You'd like keep listening to a song and give it a chance? Nah. Didn't work here. We could talk about the truth, though.
Please.
Because Diamond D. Whew. This beat is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Monch, great on this. Common, man. Rock has really missed out with Common.
They did.
Talib's great on this whole song. Perfect. Love it.
And now hearing this song as a 31-year-old man, there's a lot of fake deepness in here.
Well.
But.
Well, there's a lot of fake deepness in
that. A lot of, yeah. Pharamonch did a really good job of saying a whole lot of nothing. Let's just talk about it.
That doesn't bother me, though.
What's that?
That doesn't, I don't care about that.
It bothers me when people, again, the argument that I gave a few weeks ago, it bothers me when people treat somebody like they say things that are weighty and heavy and of substance, and they're not. They just present themselves as such. Like, not really. But taking nothing away from the truth, like, I love this song then, and in hearing it for this episode, yes. All of the yeses.
Okay. And then there's a Simon Says remix that really just has a lot of people.
Just unnecessarily.
Lady Luck. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm good with this. I love this album. Yeah.
Love it. Goodness gracious.
This is because like honestly, like when I think back about 99, there was kind of a lot of albums that didn't really deliver for me.
I can see that.
You know, I had a complicated relationship with I Am. Murder Music was good.
Not great. Don't do that.
Let's not talk about Nostradamus. Let's just not.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What else? Fallen 99. What else would I have been listening to? Yeah. So I don't know. I think to me, this is one of those albums that like hip hop is just completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
All right. So that takes us through 99. Let's move. We're already deep into this and we still got a little more to go. Oh man. This Big L album.
You couldn't tell me nothing about Big L in 2000.
Yeah. We don't need to go track by track on here because there's a lot of filler.
Filler's a nice word.
Your man Ron Browns is all over this.
And hence why we're not going track by track. Listen, we still need to do that Ron Browns retro. Like they had 6 Big L acapellas and they made 15 songs out of it.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. The Big Picture intro. Oh my goodness.
Don't do it.
Talk about Primo not being able to do wrong. This is incredible.
Okay.
I love how you get.
We spin a yo.
You were ready to end the podcast.
Absolutely.
How did they not put the Primo remix of Ebonics on here?
Thank you, but they gave it to the DITC album? What?
I forgot about that DITC album.
I didn't because that was the first album I bought that had it had like a really thick paper for the inserts. It wasn't like the thin.
Oh, wow. I forgot about thick. Oh, Primo killed that.
Wait, we're going to play these. Hold up. We're going to play all of these, bro.
Oh, goodness.
That's the Rockwilder remix.
I love the Rockwilder remix, the thick.
Hold on.
Oh, that's ugly. Oh, that's ugly.
All right, what's the Rockwilder remix? Hold on.
You're going to hate it.
No. I remember liking this.
I don't know how well it's aged.
It's very Rockwilder-y.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Stop. Turn it off.
All right, hold on. I gotta play the Ebonics remix and then we'll move on. Yeah. I gotta hear this. Here we go. Oof. Listen real closely how I break the slang shit down. Check it. My weed smoke is my lie. A clear focus of pie. When I'm lifted, I'm high.
Not even the same.
It's still hard though. I think it's one of the things. It's hard because I remember it being hard when I first heard it.
Mm.
I'll give that record a pass.
How did you feel about Deadly Combination with Tupac?
Terrible.
Terrible.
I loved it at the time. It's terrible now.
You know what's amazing?
What's that?
98 Freestyle. Don't even.
No, never, ever, ever in life.
Most of this podcast has consisted of you and I going,
don't you do it. Listen, I rap the way that I rap because of that freestyle.
Ooh. If you're a rap fan and you don't know this by heart, we need to have some words about some life decisions that you have made because this is perfect. It's everything.
Like, man.
And hearing it now, and then it's like, wow. All right, Jay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think Big L and Rockefeller would have worked?
No. Rockefeller wasn't a big enough label at the time to be able to handle multiple. Like, I don't think they could have like actually put out all that stuff. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but like, I think that's one possible problem. I think another possible problem is, I don't think Big L wanted to be number two. And if you're signed to Rockefeller, you're always number two at best, at least in 98, 99, 2000. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. I think also just frankly, like, I don't know. I mean, who influenced whom is, I'm sure, up for debate, but you know, it's not hard to listen to Big L and be like, oh boy, it sounds like the way that somebody I know used to rap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know how that would have worked out. I don't know how I feel about Raucous getting this, because first of all, this doesn't feel anything like a Raucous album.
No, it fit at the time.
Kind of.
Raucous was a home for unsung rap heroes.
That's true. That's true. That's how we get Kool G and Big Daddy Kane on here.
Yep. Oh God, that Kool G rap song is terrible.
It's terrible, but can we talk about Platinum Plus?
Can we talk about Big Daddy Kane absolutely skating on that record?
Woo!
Oh, Kane murdered that. Oh, he murdered that. Led to, you know what? You know what? Take back what I said about Alchemist. 99-2000 Alchemist is the GOAT Alchemist. Hold on.
Are we playing Platinum Plus?
No, because after we get Platinum Plus, we get this. You're quiet. Tell me you remember this.
Of course I remember it. I'm nodding my head and thinking to myself, man, I really bit this entire style.
It's fine. It's fine. Man, Kane's skating on this record. Hold on. No, never mind. I said he skated on, and then he said update your game like PlayStation. Never mind.
No, but Platinum Plus is unbelievable.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
How? So one of the other things from that oral history of Raucous, one of the things they regret is not putting this out as the single, Platinum Plus. Because,
really?
I mean, they come out with, what was it? Holding it down. Which,
mad eye. Then when you hear how Pete Rock chopped the verse up versus how it was supposed to go, it's like, why didn't you just let him rap that way?
Yeah. Like, right. I think if you put, you know, Platinum Plus, it's not going to be a radio hit, but that's not the point. Like, people aren't going to, and I think that was the problem with Holding It Down, is it sort of sounded like they wanted to like trick somebody. Hey, who's this up and coming rapper, Big L? Like, no.
He's busting out onto the,
he's busted out in the national scene with Holding It Down. No, stop it.
Produced by Pete Rock.
Produced by Peter Rock. Yeah, no, stop it. Like, that. That's not who's buying this.
Nobody. Big L fans.
Right. So you put out Platinum Plus and they're all there on day one. All of them. Everybody.
Yep.
Anyway, Pete Rock puts in one of the worst beats of his career on Who You Sliding With, which the fact.
Oh, good boy.
Oh, it's terrible. Actually, you know what's the worst thing ever? Can you play games for me?
Oh, God.
I don't think you understand.
Was that the one? No, that was.
This is Guru, Sadat X. Big L.
Okay, you're just not gonna play. Oh, there. Oh God. I've never heard this song after that part.
Wait, just let the beat come in. Nope, that is the beat.
This is the beat.
This is what 2000 sounds like.
Yeah.
It's like if you put like pellets for a bird on a keyboard and they just sort of started eating them. There was definitely a circle of keyboards involved in the production of this.
Oh,
it's just random little bump bump. It's like what? No, terrible. That might be the worst beat I've ever heard. And that is saying a lot. All right. Flamboyant School on here. Triborough is not bad on here. There's really just an awful lot of round brows.
Just so his trash, like, it didn't start with Pop Champagne. It had been brewing for a while.
Right. It didn't even start with Ether.
No, it didn't start with Ether. No. You're right.
So, are you ready to talk about Reflection Eternal Train of Thought?
Absolutely, I am.
Okay, this is all you, buddy. I'm mad on this entire album.
Another album that changed my life.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. This was like my get over my teen angst in high school album. Like the first time you like really get curved by, like I really got curved by like a chick that I really liked, and you know, just dealing with the awkwardness of growing up and all that other nonsense or whatever, like this was the album that I would always just retreat to my headphones and just blast.
Huh.
Yep. Yep. This album, front to back. There's only one song on that. Touch You is probably the only record that I don't like. Other than that, front to back. Loved this album. Some of it did not age well. Some of it aged beautifully.
Like Move Something?
Nope.
The Blast is cool.
Whoa! And that concludes Clock Radio Speakers. I want to thank you for all 200 plus episodes. No, bro. Are you kidding me?
It's cool.
You bugging. And the remix with Erykah Badu? Go somewhere. No. The Blast is one of the greatest songs in hip-hop history.
Okay.
I'll say it.
Well, good, because no one else will. It was cool. It's cool. See, I feel bad. Like, I can't. So, let me say this much. It's better than I remember. And also, there are more individual songs on here than I remember. Like, because to me, I was like, nah, whatever. But then when I went back and listened, I was like, oh, right. I know that record.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most of them are mad all right.
Nope.
So, you had, so coming off after Black Star,
mm-hmm.
Mos Def is kind of, you know, he does his solo album, but instead of a Talib Kweli solo album, we get Reflection Eternal. Were you disappointed by that? Happy? I mean, you really like this record, so like that clearly worked for you.
Yeah, so Mos began to, you know, he was doing Carmen and like Mos was everywhere.
I forgot about Carmen. Oh my God.
Yeah, he was dating Beyonce at the time. So he, like, that was happening. So Kweli also at the time was making a name for himself. Kweli was not annoying back then as an MC. Like he's taking on a whole different persona, like with his Twitter handle and all that stuff. But like back then, people really liked Kweli. Now people don't like Kweli at all. But back then, people thought that Kweli was a very dope MC. So the whole idea was, all right, what rap fans were thinking was. All right, Black Star album, then we get Black on Both Sides. We're going to get a solo Kweli album, and then they're going to come back and do another Black Star album. So after Black Star hits it out the park, then Mos Def hits it out the park, then it's like, all right, Kweli, what are you going to do? Then it was like, oh, you're doing something with High Tech? Interesting. Now we're in. And from what I remember, everybody loved this album.
I remember everybody loving it too. And I was just like, eh. It's a lot of Kweli. It's a lot of Kweli.
It's a lot of Kweli. Now in retrospect, it's actually 21 records because Four Women's a bonus track at the end.
Right.
21 Talib Kweli records is a lot.
A lot of Talib Kweli.
They could have done without Name of the Game, Ghetto Afterlife.
Name of the Game, I didn't mind.
No.
Ghetto Afterlife, I think I remember that beat, yeah.
That was the one with Kool G Rap.
Yeah, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb on this album.
Yes, it does. It's a little too, like, this record is very smooth, and that record was like too hard.
Right.
The good thing, the good example of like a hard, smooth record on here was Down for the Count with Rod Diggity. Yeah, nah, we're not going to do that.
Nope.
Love Language was dope. Good Morning is classic.
Yeah, Good Morning is classic.
God. Yeah. Four Women's classic. Nah, man, this album did a lot for me. So no slander here. I do like this thing about Tidal, how they really list all the credits.
Did you go back and listen to Lyricist Lounge 2?
I did.
Okay.
And my soul hurt.
Yeah. So the beginning of the end for Raucous Records, even though it's a classic single, is Oh No.
Yes, it is.
It's the beginning of the end.
Yep.
This is in no way a Lyricist Lounge song.
Not at all.
Like, no. It's a dope single.
Yeah.
The beat is dope.
You know what? It's dope, but I was never crazy about it.
Oh. Mos and Monch kill it. Nate Hook is classic. It's so unorthodox to have Nate Dogg on this record, but it totally works.
Yeah, it works.
No. Oh No is great, but it's not Lyricist Lounge. It's sort of, it's like, must just be flashing big lights. Like this, you know, we are changing. It's, you know, sorry, Raucous Records fans. Because I think what happened is they're like, oh, look what Mos did. Oh, look what Monch did. Okay, great. Now we're going to be a little mini Def Jam. And that's how you get Lyricist Lounge 2 containing a record called Get That Dough by Beanie Siegel.
Hey.
2000 was a very confusing time.
You relax. That song was dope in 2000. This song's terrible now.
It's terrible.
Did anything on here age well?
So first of all, Miss Fat Booty 2 is terrible.
Yeah.
The Grimy Way.
That was the beat I thought you were talking about originally, because I heard that and was like, yo.
The Grimy Way is great. Oh, Right and Exact?
Now. Back then, the record was crazy. Now, mm-mm.
How about Legendary Street Team Remix?
There should have just been one version.
Right.
Yep. What about Let's Grow?
No.
That was back when we were really like cheering for Royce.
Yeah.
Wanted Royce to be something and just couldn't quite put it all together.
How about the fact that there's a JT Money and Pastor Troy record produced by Scott Storch on here?
I didn't get that far. Do I want to hear this right now?
It's not good.
Well, remember, Master Fool was the other guy from the Lyricist Lounge show. So there was Wordsworth.
Oh, I forgot about Master Fool.
Yeah, there was the other. What was the other guy's name with the big afro? I forgot his name. All I know is I saw him. I saw him on Instagram like 6 months ago, and he's like a bodybuilder now. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then Master Fool was like the fake ODB. Don't want to hear this.
Go ahead.
Listen,
that is not a Raucous Record song.
Never would that record happen. So would you say that the success of Mos Def and Pharoah Monch was like a gift and a curse for Raucous?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think they knew how to handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, all you gotta do is look at this lineup. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
There's nothing like, no. This is a compilation record. This might as well be a funk. This might as well be Big Cap and Funk Flex the Tunnel. Like, there's nothing.
Don't you dare.
It's a terrible album.
It was really bad.
So there's a couple songs in there that are cool. Some Alchemist beats that are dope. But no, This is. I mean, not that the first Lyricist Lounge was great. But here's what's amazing. This is only a year and a half after Soundbombing 2. That's it.
Yeah.
What a change.
Yeah.
But you know, they wanted, and Oh No was a pretty good single, you know?
Yeah. Pretty good.
can we talk about this? Did you listen to High Technology?
I did.
Yes.
I was going to hit you up and ask to see if you had the advance. Do you remember the advance?
You know what I did mistakenly listen to at first was the Talib Kweli quality advance. And I was like, oh no. And then
Was the quality advance the one that had that Kanye African drum beat?
It didn't have Get By, which is how I knew I was in trouble and I was on the wrong thing.
yeah, Get By. Yeah, Kanye saved Quali's life.
We'll get there. That's probably how we'll close. But High Technology, man, listen, The Sun God. Woo!
Here's my problem.
Don't even.
No. My problem is The Sun God was coming off of Tekzilla.
See, I think Tekzilla's a little overrated.
Whoa, boy.
Play it real quick.
Relax.
Tekzilla was never officially released, right?
No, it was maybe later on?
I mean, but at the time, I don't think so.
But no. It was supposed to be on High Technology.
Right.
Because it was on the advance. What? At first off, the only thing that I'll give you is that I could not imagine 2001 Common fighting anybody. But no, are you serious? What? I know that whole song by heart. Don't do that.
Okay.
Because I'm common sense and I practice consciousness. He was prompted to diss, mad because my guy used to knock his What? What? Get out of here.
You all right?
You couldn't tell. Also, you could not tell me nothing about 2001 Common. That's coming off of like Water for Chocolate. I was all aboard the Common train from 99 to B. We hopped off for Electric Circus.
Yeah, Tekzilla really is just on Apple Music somehow.
Yeah, it's out as a single. Yep.
Yeah. It's overrated. Anyway.
And I rap over that for Snooze Bottom.
Sun God is amazing.
Sun God is dope.
Can we talk about how much I stand for Cormega and the fact that All I Need Is You is amazing?
Was amazing.
I thought this was going to do something for Cormega.
I did too.
I was an idiot. What's hilarious about this song? What's hilarious about this song is that he does this chick record, and then he has to end it with a second snippet of a song at the end, and just to make sure everybody knows he's still Cormega, the very first line he says is "Guns Rusty." Like, so he just does this whole chick record, then it's a beat switch, and he's like, boom, 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 and he goes into full Cormega mode, and I'm like, oh man, come on.
Man, yo, oh man, because the problem was the original version on the Advance had a sample. They could not clear the sample, so the retail version is a replay, and the replay is nowhere as good as the sample.
For All I Need Is You.
Yeah.
No, I'm
so serious. I know.
I love the retail All I Need Is You. Nah, I don't know if I've heard the Advance.
The Advance version is way better, bro.
I might find that for the show.
But here's the thing. I don't listen. Yeah. I thought that you wouldn't like that because the intro is about him being in the studio. I thought that's one of your hip-hop cardinal sins.
Should be. There's a lot of hip-hop cardinal sins getting all over this entire Rockus catalog that are ignored. People rapping about rapping.
Yeah. A lot of rapping about rapping.
You know what's great on here, though? And I don't mean the Jinx the Juvie record. Jinx the Juvie.
Hey, relax. He's in jail for a long time.
Well, I'm sorry, Jinx, but you know. No. Can we talk about Round and Round?
Where's Janelle at? I just want to shake her hand. I want to give her a hug.
Oh.
I just want to hug her.
Start with the shake.
No thirst. I just want to thank her for this record.
All the emoji flames.
Simultaneously.
This record is great. And it holds up.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. You remember the remix with Method Man? Mm. Me neither.
I do, actually. That's the sad part. Unfortunately, a lot of the rest of this is Theme from Hot Tech's not bad. I used to love Theme from Hot Tech, but I don't know how well it held up. I used to love The Illest It Gets, and no.
You used to love what?
The Illest It Gets.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, no, no.
No.
No, not doing it. So... In 2002, and these are the last two things we should talk about, is Soundbomb and 3.
Oh my God, you went there. I couldn't.
Yeah. Which basically all you really need to know is that it has The Life on it.
Mm. I told you, all the life does for me is make me want to dribble the basketball. Forever.
The life is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
But there's a lot of, I don't know, like Soundbomb and 3 is, it's like, okay, The Life's on there, but then there's,
what else?
Basically just a whole bunch of records that were all over other records. Like, there's a Roots song on here from Phrenology for some reason. There's a record from Quality on here. There's the Round and Round remix, unfortunately.
What is this?
What are you looking at?
I'm just looking at the track listing.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of...
Is a DJ Quick song on here?
Oh, yeah. DJ like Quick and Talib Kweli, no.
Talib Kweli, okay, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
So, let's talk about Quality. Actually, which is essentially the end of Rockus as we know it, for the most part.
Yep.
This album is really saved. So first of all, there's not much on here that I would consider like, oh, right, this sounds like Rockus. At this point, it's released on Rockus, but it's just Talib Kweli making a 2002 hip-hop album.
Mm-hmm.
Without Kanye, I don't know what he has in this album.
Nothing.
Get By, Gorilla Monsoon Rap, and Good to You.
And Gorilla Monsoon Rap didn't age very well.
Actually, Good to You didn't either.
Yeah. I used to love Gorilla Monsoon Rap.
Super hippity hoppity.
Yeah, very much so. Let me pull it up. Because I didn't even... Like, the amazing thing with Quality is that I was so upset that he wasn't doing another album with Hi Tech. I didn't listen to this album until way later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't hear it. Because remember, the single was Waiting for the DJ.
Oh, right. Yeah, because Get By was a last minute addition.
Mm-hmm. You know, Waiting for the DJ was super trash and nothing. I think Put in the Air was a single. I'm pretty sure it was.
Might be.
Yeah, nah. I'm good. No, thank you.
Okay.
Wait, there's a...
Oh, you know what's a terrible song on here?
What's that?
Gun Music.
I don't want to hear a song called Gun Music by Talib Kweli.
With Coco Brothers, produced by Megahertz.
Oh, God. Do I want to hear this?
You do. It's so 2002. I don't think you're ready. That's such a hip-hop thing to say.
Yeah, it is. All right, hold on. Okay, hold on. Time out.
What was that?
The gunshots at the beginning of gun music.
Right. Keep going.
Now, if I'm out of town, my crew take care of ya. Bodies to more than merit. Your point is spray the area. Niggas quick to bury ya. Fuck niggas.
I don't have anything else to say.
That's it. That's the end of Ruckus Records right there.
That's the death.
Yep.
That's the death scene.
So
now
we ended.
I want Bad World to start slowly playing in the background.
So
or Sting, Shape of My Heart, or something like that. Like, it's the end.
We didn't end on the strongest of notes.
As most retrospectives don't.
But real quick, let's recap. So for you, like, clearly, like you said, some of these records changed your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you went back and as you heard some of this stuff, was there anything that particularly surprised you?
How well some of those Soundbombing records held up.
Mm.
How ahead of his time Mos Def was. And again, just how much of the Ruckus DNA. We didn't even get in the 555 soul. We didn't get any of that stuff. Like, just during that time, it was very label heavy.
Right.
So, you know, we talk about, you know, there's regions, you know, there's like the mid 2000s where it was like the South and things like that. But like from 90, actually beginning with Bad Boy. So from 97 till about 02, 03 was like the era of the labels.
Yes.
So
even past then, like with G-Unit and everything else.
Yeah, sure, sure. Right. You're right. Bad Boy, Ruckus, Def Jam, No Limit, Cash Money, Rough Riders, Murder Inc., just labels. And Ruckus, when you think about it and the way that you summarized it, I'm actually surprised that Ruckus Records' reign was so short because it had such a lasting impression on Armand.
I think it also just, I mean, right, like we said, I mean, Little Brother, like the whole way that sort of movement happened, where they really could take advantage of the internet in a way, even though the internet was still not what the internet is now, like they could take advantage of it in a way that Ruckus couldn't. Like imagine 98 Ruckus, but with the full power of the internet.
Yeah.
It's a completely different experience. I mean, I just think the reason why the reign was so short is because the sound changed so quickly in hip hop then.
Yeah.
It really was a time of like, boom, 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 like, you know, if you had a song that was 3 years old, it sounded like the oldest. You couldn't even imagine how ridiculous it would sound.
Yeah.
Like in 2001, actually, so like if in 2000 you had a record that you recorded in 97, it wouldn't sound anything like what you would hear on the radio. Like things just move fast.
Yep.
So I think that's part of why the reign was short. I think it's, you know, there's a lot of labels from that era where the reign was kind of short, but no, I mean, for me, the biggest surprise, frankly, was Mos Def. I forgot. Mm-hmm.
He was that guy, man.
Yeah, he didn't really, you know, Black and Both Sides. I know people call it a classic. I think it's a strong album. I can't call it a classic because to me, it didn't hit me like that at the time. But I'm not knocking anybody who does.
Yeah.
But I feel like, how did he not get an album in like 2002?
Yeah, he should have followed up quickly.
I mean, honestly, he probably would have had some of those Kanye records. It's just a different world.
Yep. Yeah. If he comes out before College Dropout, he's all over College Dropout.
Right.
Like Kanye has to put him on the album.
Man, just missed opportunities. And yep. Honestly, like, I feel like Pharrell Monch has just been forgotten.
I mean, he didn't follow up either.
No.
Like what came after Internal Affairs?
He waited until 2007.
No.
Right. He waited way too long.
Way too long. Music changed like twice over by then.
Right. He needed something like 2001, 2002. Like he needed something quick.
Yep. Cause that would have been, that's post Rockefeller and G Unit.
Right.
Like your whole audience has moved on without you.
Right.
Which sucks.
It sucks. It does. Anything else you want to say? We've been going for a long time, man. Anything else you want to say about Ruckus?
Nah, man. I'm just glad we did this and I'm ready. There's a few other retros that we need to do.
Yeah. We've been talking about a Murder Inc. retro at some point.
I think that's necessary for this year.
I think so. We might have to. I think we actually have some music we could talk about, so that might have to wait a bit. But the one thing I do want to say is, first of all, everybody, thank you for listening. But also, let us know what your favorite Ruckus records were.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm still kind of struck. Like, I kind of forgot how impactful Soundbombing 2 was.
Yep.
That is like a completely forgotten record.
Yep.
Yeah, that 99, raucous in 99, man. It was just crazy. But yeah, if you're listening, hit us up on Twitter at CRS Podcast. Use the hashtag Clack Ready Speakers and let us know what you think. You know, go back and listen to some old raucous stuff. Hopefully you like it. Anything else, man?
We didn't even talk about me signing a record, dude. I just noticed that.
Look at you. Got something to promote.
We'll wait till next week, man.
No,
it's too late. It's too late, man. It's too close.
So if somebody heard that and they're intrigued, they can go to where to find out more?
Yeah, armandwakeup.bandcamp.com. There's a write-up on Rapzilla, and I'll be doing some press. I actually have an interview Thursday where I'll be talking about, well, I'm recording on Thursday. I don't know when they're going to put it out. But in the next few weeks, I'll be doing quite a bit of press, sort of talk about it. But we'll talk about it in depth on Clack Radio Speakers next week. I think that's a good catch-up point because, you know, you guys will get the exclusive. So, yeah, that's it.
All right, man. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll catch you next week.